Welcome to day 12 of the 12 days of podcasts here at It's The Real. This series of 12 perfect episodes is brought to you by the good people at Def Jam. Jeezy's got a new album and it is great. If you like Jeezy to be Jeezy, listen to track 5 called This Is It, or track 12, or track 7, or even tracks 1 through 4, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 13, because Jeezy is always Jeezy, all day, every day, including all 12 days of these 12 days of podcasts. Happy post-Hanukkah, Merry pre-Christmas, go celebrate all day, all year on JeezyShop.com.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Day number 12 of the 12 days of podcasts. We made it.
We made it.
And here we are, Jeff, still standing, still operating, still breathing, and still not even Christmas yet, but it's the holiday season. It looks like Christmas downstairs in our lobby, and 12 days of podcasts ends today, but the podcast continues, obviously, next week and into the new year. Thank you, everybody, who has been supporting this podcast through all of 2017.
Yeah, I mean, our numbers, so we doubled from 2015 to 2016.
Cool.
We doubled again from 2016 to 2017.
Cool.
I don't think math is on our side this time. That's a lot of doubling.
Well, listen.
But you want to know what?
Let's take that challenge and blow it out. 2018, let's double what we did in this incredible year. We had a whole bunch of fantastic guests. Today we have another one, Shy Glizzy. But before we get into that, the first thing that you guys should do as 2018 approaches is get tickets for our upcoming live show at SOB's on January 10th, 2018.
We'll be there.
We will be there. That it is our show.
Yeah.
If you guys know our 2017 track record, we brought 10 Rockefeller pillars together on one stage. If you know our 2017 track record, you know we sold out SOB's without any album out. If you know our 2017 track record, you know we went to Los Angeles and put on an amazing show out there. And if you know our 2017 track record, you know we brought DJ Semtex out to London, a market we had no business being in, and killed that shit out there. So if you are a betting person, bet on us. It's The Real. The show is called It's The Real, two SOBs. It's happening at the SOBs nightclub where everybody has touched that stage. You know, it's 2 Chainz and Kanye and Drake and John Legend and a whole bunch of young kids from Florida who do SoundCloud rap. And these two guys right here, we're It's The Real. We are two SOBs and we're ready to get 2018 started the right way. So you guys help us out. Let's sell that bitch out. It'sthereal.com is where you go get your tickets. Tickets are available right now. They make the best Christmas present and the best start to a whole new year.
And speaking of great starts to a whole new year, let's end this one on a good note with our friend Shy Glizzy, DC Zone, who has maybe one of the best verses of the year, one of the most energetic verses of the year on Crew, the song by Goldlink. And
we talk about that on this podcast in great detail. And we also talk about a lot of other stuff like losing his father at a super early age. We talk about finding his own voice, which he said he didn't even find until, like, right now.
Yeah.
We talk about him refusing to sign to any label, but Lior and Kevin Lyles showing up at his doorstep to sign him meant a whole lot. We talk about working with everybody from Young Thug to Pee Wee Longway to Young Money Yawn, GS9, Fabolous, and Trey Songz. We talk about raising his 3-year-old son in his own image.
Yeah, and also the TV shows that his son watches.
There's a lot here. It's a great episode. We're super happy to end the 12 days of podcasts with this episode. Shout out to Shy Glizzy. Shout out to everybody at 300. Shout out to you guys for listening. Again, go to itsthereal.com right now and get your tickets for our upcoming show on January 10th, 2018 at SOB's here in New York City. Jeff, great job by you with these 12 days. Great job by you over the course of the entire year. When do you want to get into this?
Right after, one, I have to now thank you and say, you know, great job editing.
Oh, thank
and,
you.
Yeah, all that.
All the whatever. Yeah.
But I do want to say that we are back on Tuesday with Mayor, the shoe guy.
Another new episode?
Another new episode.
It doesn't stop. Jeff, when do we get into this new episode?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Fire in the Booth, a.k.a. Sonny Corleone.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Freak in the Sheets, a.k.a. Casper.
And it's your boy, Young Hefe, home.
Yeah, and this is a waste of time, but it's The Real. Yo, Shy Glizzy, what's happening?
What's up, man?
Everything's good.
Yeah.
We were just going over all the platforms that your music is on right now, mm-hmm. and you are international.
Yeah.
You're everywhere. It's got to feel pretty good that you're on,
yeah,
like,
definitely
not just Spotify and Apple Music, but also on Deezer.
Yeah, you guys just hit me to that.
Well, congratulations on like what has to be just an amazing year under your belt, right? Like 2017 is probably the best one so far.
The best and the worst.
Why the worst?
I mean, it's a couple ups and downs, but okay. Definitely the best year so far.
You know, a couple weeks ago you were up here, you were at Jimmy Fallon. Mm-hmm. That was your first TV performance.
Yeah.
What was that like as opposed to, you know, being performing anywhere else? Yeah.
I wasn't nervous, but it was like, I was thinking about it like the whole day I had to get up for. It was just like a lot of preparation. It was different than just going out there with a lot of energy and just being a good performer. It was like you had to master that performance right there because it was live.
Yeah, but what's that backstage like?
Is it
boring?
I was with Denzel back there.
I know,
Steph Curry back there. Like,
yeah,
it was.
What'd you talk about with Denzel?
Nah, he just telling us that he had some family from back home. Mm-hmm. You know, different man-to-man conversations. You know.
Did you talk to Jimmy at all?
Yeah. He definitely told us that keep up the good work and that we had a good performance.
You meet him. Is he taller than you think he is? Is he shorter than you think he is?
He's average height. Yeah.
And did you get a chance to like see how everything worked like backstage? Was it busy?
The Roots had a Grammy back there, and I'm actually Grammy nominated.
I know.
No big deal.
Yeah.
You know, you're on Deezer.
I didn't think
Grammy
that
nominated.
I would see a Grammy, and then you know.
I really hope that you win a Grammy so that you can like. Man, remember how
really
Drake like drank
too.
Out of the Grammy? Like you need. To,
I
like,
was just talking about that. Yeah. I can't wait to do that. I'm putting 1942 inside the Grammy.
Are you sponsored?
No. I'm trying to be.
Is that something where, like, you already have it plotted out in your, like, apartment where it's going to sit?
I'll maybe make a room for that.
Yeah.
I might start my own award room after that one. If I get that, that just means I'm going to keep going after that.
So, where are you originally from?
Southeast D.C.
All right. And what is growing up in Southeast D.C. like?
It's rough. It's challenging.
Did you come from a big family?
I can't say that.
Okay.
Yeah. Just my mom and my grandmoms, like that. A couple uncles and aunts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but you had people looking out for you.
Got people that love me.
And what was your sort of like friend base out there like?
Tricky.
Why's that?
Because like everybody don't got the same love for you that you got for them. You gotta know that.
This is something that, like, whenever we get people from the DMV up here, they always say that now, like, not when they're growing up, they say now, when they've made it to a certain level of success, it's not exactly reciprocated down there. Like, people aren't showing the same love. Do you feel that too?
It always been like that for me because I always been of a certain status or, you know, like, always had something going on, so... That's just the culture of where we come from, and, you know, it's getting better every day. Like, it's people like me shining a light and showing things are possible that was never possible at first.
Why do you think that is that people might not have love for their own?
I mean, because everybody's stuck in a certain place that they don't really want to be at, you know? It's hard out there. It's not too big, not too small either, but, you know, you're going to bump into someone if you want to bump into them, so.
Yeah.
You know, Southeast D.C. is known as one of those, like, you know, really rough neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Did you move around a lot or were
a
you?
A lot.
A lot?
A whole lot. I moved around everywhere, though. All around the city, Maryland, wherever, you know.
Is that just because your mom was just, like, trying to get you out?
I was just everywhere, you know. I was just doing my thing out there, so I was everywhere.
What were you like as a kid?
Oh, I was wild.
You were wild?
Yeah, I was wild. I was way wilder than I am right now.
Wild like running with older kids?
I was running with much older kids than me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what did you get from them?
Learning experiences. I just watched them. Like, they didn't influence me to do anything, you know?
Did they keep you from getting into more trouble than you thought you would get into?
Kind of, because... Yeah. I wasn't young-minded, you know. They taught me to think in different ways and to be on top of my game.
So when you say that you weren't young-minded, do you feel like you didn't get that full, like, experience as a child because you had to grow up too quick?
I mean, I was always focused on getting what I saw, you know. I always had a vision. So it wasn't even about being a child for me.
Yeah. What was the vision?
This right here.
To be in our table?
Wow, yeah, on Upper West Side.
Yeah, yeah. Talking to guys like you and to be making a lot of money, you know? Whatever that may be, just making a lot of money and making good connections with great people.
Well, when did music really enter your life? Like, were you in band in elementary school? Was that something where, like...
Nah.
You weren't playing the tuba?
Always, since elementary school, I've been doing, like, go-go music. And
so go-go music was always
part
of
being on Pots and Pans.
Yeah.
That's what I used to do.
Yeah, I heard that you didn't grow up on rap. You were just, like, heavy into go-go.
Yeah, that's it. Heavy. Like, I was, like, the first young kid in the go-go. Like 12 years old.
So middle school then?
Yeah.
And you were not in band? You were not in chorus?
Nah.
None of that?
Nah.
What was your first job?
My first job? I don't even think I ever had a job.
Never?
Nah, I ain't never had it. This was my first job.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But when did you start rapping?
Once I got in trouble. I got in trouble when I was like 15, 16 years old. So by the time I was 17, I came up with the plan. Like, man, I want to rap. Because my uncle used to rap. And he was like heavy in the streets. So he was always influencing me when I see him with nice things, you know?
Was he nice?
He was nice to me.
No, was he a nice rapper?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was an excellent rapper. Yeah, he was an excellent rapper. No, it kind of reminded me of myself.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So was he, like, going into the studio to record? Was he, like, gigging around town?
He was gigging around town. They was doing everything in the studio. They was the big dogs of the city.
But he was still local?
Yeah, they was local, but they were making big moves with major artists, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when people, you know, it's someone in every town that got reached to big artists, and they was those guys, you know?
So he was somebody that when, like, big artists would come around, he was the go-to guy?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, him and his clique.
And you saw that at 17 and thought, there's a future there for me?
I saw it before that, but I lost him. So it was like, through my experiences and through that, you know, I had to find something else to do.
Your father wasn't part of the picture, right?
Nah, he died when I was like 4 months old. I don't really know too much about him. I just know what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's some good, some bad. Yeah, that's how I became the man that I am today, through him.
I mean, how did that shape you, that environment?
As far as
your father was violently taken away.
I mean, I was born into that at that point. So it was like, that's what shaped me. That's what you hear my music. That's what you see. That's what you get. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it wasn't by choice for me.
Right.
Yeah, it was just like something I had to take on.
By the end of high school, you're 17, you see your future as rapping. Is there something that your family is that something your family is supportive of? Do they know what that entails?
Nah, not really.
Had you broached that conversation?
No one was really supportive. I was incarcerated, so it was like only I was supportive. It was like just me and a dream, basically, at that point. But when I came home, you know, I was just getting off my ass and just putting my all into it, catching the bus, writing raps. I was on house arrest for like a year when I came home, so after doing 2 years, I was still locked up for another year. So, like, you already know where my mind was at.
But where does that come from inside of you to have that commitment to get up every day and put in that work, knowing that, like, this is a dream? It's not something for certain, right?
I mean, everything that we're talking about, the losses, the wins, you know, like, it's just motivation. It's like somebody got to be this guy that I am, because look at all the stuff that we've been through.
Well, what's the first thing outside of house arrest that shows you that you're on the right track? Like, you're like, yo, this is an actual win. Like, I've gone through the depths, but this is like something that I can point to and be like, you know what? I'm going to build off of that.
When I start releasing YouTube videos, of course, that's the only way that I knew, like, it was something there, you know, like, everybody looking at me everywhere. I'm like, goddamn. So I just put out more and more and more and more.
What was it about YouTube that made it sort of the platform to go with?
Because they had to see it to believe it. You know, like, they seen my grind, they seen who I was. So it was like, I was backing all that up.
And did you think that it could go beyond the city at that point? Like, yeah. Did you really?
Yeah, because everybody, like, major artists were reaching out to me since my first video.
Like who?
Pusha T was the first guy to reach out to me.
And what did that mean when you got that?
It meant a lot. That's big, you know? Like, it was big. And then, like, of course, the other mainstream rappers started reaching out. Then, like, Wale reached out and, you know, like, different people. Yo, Gotti, Meek Mill, everybody. Birdman.
Talk about your meeting with Birdman.
Birdman changed a lot with how I work and how I move, you know. Because I always had that vision to be a guy like that. And then, like, to see that in person is a whole different lifestyle.
Yeah. Like to see those star tattoos up in person, like, you were just like...
Nah, it's just like a movie around that guy, like, right there.
Just the way he conducts himself.
And yeah, and the way he worked.
Yeah.
He worked from night to day, you know? So it's like, if a guy twice my age or, like, 10 times my age could...
10 times?
Yeah. I'm saying, like, you know...
You are very young.
I'm 24, so...
Yeah.
It's like, to see a guy, like, my father's age damn near to... be up at 8 p.m. and don't leave till 8 p.m. the next day in the studio. It's like, and how the fuck could I sleep at that point? I gotta do the same thing he doing to get to that level. So I can't settle for less, you know?
So what was the plan at that point? What the plan was just to put out YouTube videos, or were you thinking complete projects at that point?
I was always putting out bodies of work since the beginning. Like, Streets Had Us Youngin' and then... Law mixtapes, and I was always working, but I was like, it was easy because I was always making money and I could just give cameraman money like this, whoop de whoop. But as I leveled up, it's like you go from $1,000 video to a $50,000 video, you're like, wow,
all out of pocket for you,
yeah. Damn. Definitely.
We'll talk about when Awesome came out. Like, I remember where I was when I first heard Awesome, I think it was through Yams.
Yeah, he put a lot of people onto that song.
Yeah. But like that first line, oh my fucking god, pulping that, oh my gosh. It's like, it's the best line ever. Yeah. Like, I feel like one of your strengths is obviously your voice, but one of your...
That was my brand new Corvette actually in the video. We just shipped it down to Miami, so it looked it like, you know how people rent cars in Miami? Yeah, like, that wasn't the case. Like, that was a paid for, just came out. Brand new 2015 Stingray Corvette. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually awesome. Yeah.
It was a great feeling to have that. And I was just showing them what I was feeling like. Oh my, that's what I'm pulling up in real life. And you know, it was exciting. I was just, you know, feeling awesome to have my moment at that time.
Did you know Yams before that, or did you hear the song?
Kind of. He been following my movement and trying to get me to be with Blackout Boys and, you know, stuff like that.
How many people around the city had tried to reach out to, like, link up and be like, yo?
In my city?
Yeah.
I mean, no one.
No one.
Yeah, no one.
Obama.
No one reached out because they thought that you were just doing your own thing? Or did you put out word that you were just like, I'm good?
They already knew that I was good. I think that's the thing that... Yeah, they kind of knew I was good. I mean, they always wanted to get close to me, you know, but...
Because they want that credibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that go.
Fire. I mean, you're talking to two guys who have no credibility, so, you know, we don't know what that is.
I got all the credibility, man.
No, but what are the spots down in D.C. that you would play around at? Like, what are some of the clubs?
Were you in, like, stadium? Were you in...
Yeah, I'm still in stadium to this day. It's about to get back popping real soon.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really go to many clubs in D.C., but I can go anywhere.
Sure.
I don't really show up like that because it's like, I hold a lot of value in DC.
Yeah.
So you can, you rather, you,
people aren't asking for walkthroughs.
You can see me more on the streets regular than you will see me in the club.
Is that where you want to be? Or are you looking to sort of like get that suburban spot and just sort of kick back?
We got suburban spots. But it's like, you can see me out more than you will see me just inside of a club. Like some artists just pop out at the club. You can see me every day outside shopping.
Yeah, where do you get frozen yogurt from?
Yeah, just the mall. Yeah. Like, with my son, you know, like regular, no security guy. You know,
how old is your son?
Three. Yeah.
What is he? Does he like Daniel Tiger, or like Caillou, or I don't know what
he is. He like Caillou. He like.
Does that mean that you do too? Because you gotta like watch everything. Like.
I watch everything, but I've been watching Caillou since I was a baby. So it's like. I just putting him on in different things, you know. He just started watching Lil Rascals and understanding that for the first time now. So he going crazy. Like he just like he like to be a kid, you know.
Yeah. Well, at 3 years old, can you see anything in him that you're like, yo, definitely. That's me?
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah, everything.
Is that a good thing?
That's a good thing.
Okay, good.
Yeah, is he out in these streets? Thing. Like, you know.
Yeah, moving heavy.
Did you see Khaled? Like, there's a commercial that Khaled just put out for, I think, for Beats, right? For the wireless Beats. And he has his car with a matching, like, tiny car for Asad.
Yeah, I seen that.
Are you doing that with the Corvette? Like,
We did that for his first birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I bought him a Lamborghini because Chris Brown daughter had one. Yeah. For real.
So, okay.
Wait,
so,
does your son play with other, like, artist
like
kids?
$5,000 kid car.
$5,000?
Yeah, custom shipped from L.A.
For his first birthday?
Yeah.
Do you have to, like, insure
they
that?
They had to paint it and everything.
Jesus.
Yeah. He still got it. I don't even let him drive it.
He better have it. Like, what? Better not lose it.
It's like a gift for him, like he's just gonna always have.
Oh, I hope he appreciates that. It like, you know,
sure.
Yeah,
at three.
Yeah, at three.
No, he got dirt bikes and stuff.
Dirt bikes
at three.
At three.
Yeah.
Do they have training wheels?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to when you're like first really on your grind and you're putting out projects. Who are the DJs around town that really like take notice of what's going on?
DJ Quicksilver.
Is Quicksilver on the radio or is
Quicksilver on the radio? I mean, salute. A lot of DJs in the city play my music. I don't really know their name off top, but salute the ones that did. And there's a lot of them that didn't.
Where were you the first moment you heard your song on the radio?
I don't even know. I can't even recall. Because it's like the city has shown me so much love that it's like I've been on the radio since early on.
Yeah.
Before local artists was even on the radio in DC.
How long do you think it took you to find your sound?
Now.
Still?
No. Oh. Now I got it.
Now you
have
it.
2017.
Really?
Yeah.
So there was no song like that you thought like you know, might have hit like a couple years ago and you were like...
I mean, I always had my own sound, but I think I mastered it this year. Like, I always, like, I don't sound like no one, but it was ways to use my voice and levels and different things, you know? Like, my voice matured in many ways, so
it's not like when you, like, talk to LL Cool J and you say, like, oh, is this your best project? And every single time he says, this is my best project. Yeah. Like, you actually think, yes, like, now.
Yeah, now. Now is the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how about spots in Baltimore and Virginia that like really like took to you? Did you see that from the beginning or
like Baltimore and Virginia, they always show me love. I've been working with Virginia artists and Baltimore artists too. Like getting paid features and just going outside my element. Like I was the artist that pull up in their neighborhood and go to their cities and go get the money and do whatever they want to do.
What was your first trip to New York like?
Oh, I've been coming here since I was a baby.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've been coming here. Because I've always been a little fly guy, so my mom always came here. Yeah.
So in terms of like what you would like cop as far as shoes or like clothes, like you were always like ahead of the curve, you think?
Yeah, my mom trained me well for that. Yeah.
And now your son is super, super ahead of the curve.
Super.
You know, what I love about you is that you work with a lot of young and unknown artists. Mm-hmm. Like one
Until
of our.
Until I get known.
Yeah, then you stop. Then it's like.
And then
it's
they
like,
stop.
Yeah. But one of our favorite songs is Young Money, the one that you do with Young Money on. Mm-hmm. Like, talk about, like, how did you meet Young Money on? Was that through Pusha?
Yeah.
That was through Pusha?
Yeah. That was Pusha, little homie. They were coming to the city in the clubs with me and, you know, just good vibes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he said, I got a record for you, and I like the record a lot.
That's good.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd be real.
And then, you know, we just put it together.
And who was it at 300 who took an initial interest in you?
Everybody. Kevin Lyles came to my door.
Well, did that?
I meant Kevin Lyles came to my door. But Kevin Lyles came to the studio, actually. But late at night, like very late at night. He was just in Baltimore kicking it. Like, I got to meet this kid. Came there like 1-2 in the morning, like in a dark studio, like, kicking it with me a few hours. Then he left, you know. I didn't know if he liked it or not, you know. Like, I wasn't really caught up around that, but I knew like the importance of the situation and who I was in the building with.
You knew who
so,
he was.
Yeah, it was like major situation for me.
Did he show up by himself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was G.
Yeah.
So I always respect him.
And you knew he was from Baltimore.
Since that day, I when I was in jail and I wanted to rap, I always been like a knowledgeable young man. So I read the whole Quran. I read the Bible. I read a lot of books, you know, just about life. And people don't know these things. And I read a lot of hip-hop books when I wanted to rap. So that's how I know, like, a lot about music that people don't even think I know. And I read a book about Kevin Lyles when I was incarcerated.
Really?
So I was already up on him, kind of. I kind of knew who he was and what he did, what he stood for. So I knew who I was in the building with. Then a couple days later, I'm on a four-wheeler and I break my foot, actually. And then I'm in bed, I'm like, They told me that they wanted me to come here for a meeting, so I couldn't make it. Leo came to me, you know, he came to my front door. I'm laid up in the bed, like, man, I gotta sign you, whoop-de-whoop. I'm like, damn. And then his whole appearance and, you know, just everything, it was just like a movie, how he showed up at my door, taller than the door. I'm like, whoa,
he's
man.
He's gotta be even taller because you're laid out, like.
Yeah, so. It was pretty exciting for me. And then he just came with one person too, so it was like,
oh, he wow. does yeah, he doesn't
they
security.
Really
yeah.
You know, they really
they saw it.
Yeah. They really wanted to take a chance on what I had going on.
And what did they tell you that they could do at 300 for you?
They told me that they just wanted to be in partnership with me. They told me that basically they told me it would be going However way that I make it go, you know, like, I'm independent. I got distribution with 300, so it's like, they feed off the vibe that I bring, you know what I'm saying? Like, we all got to be working, we all got to do a part, and, you know.
Did any other labels reach out to you before that?
Oh, yeah, everyone. They was like the last people.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And you heard everybody
Because I wasn't doing no deals. Like,
That's
I,
what you told
I had
everybody.
My mind made up. It didn't even matter what was on the table for me. It was just like, I wasn't ready to be in them predicaments. I didn't really have a team and, you know, I wasn't trying to move that fast.
So just to put it into perspective, everything that theoretically a record label could do for you,
mm-hmm.
you could already do for yourself, right?
Not quite. Now, I feel like that.
Right.
But at that point, maybe not. We had money, and I had, like, I was around older people, and I was doing my thing, too. So it was like.
Well, that's everything that a record label gives you, just money and old
that,
people.
Not just the connections in the area that I come from. You know, like, we don't know too much about music. Like, even if you read up on it, you see it every day, it's like you still don't know until you win it. So that's why I'm who I am today, because I ain't have so many pieces to my puzzle, and I had to figure out the hard way each time. You know what I'm saying? So it's like people don't, everyone can't last this long without them tools that I ain't have, you know?
Yeah. When you were considering signing to them, like, so Lior comes to your house, and...
And then I just had to think about it, you know?
Yeah. Were you like...
I had to see it on, I seen it on paper, you know, and I had a good lawyer in my corner, too. So it was like...
You should have asked for something, like, impossible. Like, fix my foot.
I believe he could have did it. He could have did it. But it was just like... I ain't want too much. And, you know, like, I feel like they got that. You know what I'm saying? I ain't need a $1 million contract. I ain't need it. Like,
you just wanted
really
someone to work just as hard as you would.
Yeah, and I needed, like, I own everything. Like, I own all my rights, all my masters, my pub, my everything, you know? So it's like, I can't ask for more. People don't get them type of situation these days.
So they show you the love that you want to...
Yeah, for sure.
Get.
They gave me the deal that I wanted.
And what's the first thing that you end up doing with them?
Law 3.
Was that the listening party that we went to at Engine Room?
Law 3.
And, like, drama came through. Yeah I remember that. And there was a lot of excitement around that. And
that was a big project.
Yeah, young company... Yeah, it felt like you were a priority for them. Did you think with that project you were out of here? Were you like, yo, like, I'm with the team right now? And
yeah, it was a lot of good energy in the building that day. I had GS9 in there. I had a lot of people in there. And then just, like, the people that, like you said, always been working with everyone so early on. So it's like, I don't think people see that. And me, you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't see that I got a real ear for it, or, like, I'm a real go-getter.
Well, that's probably 3 years ago at this point, maybe?
Yeah.
Or four?
And I'm executive producing all this, so, like, I'm putting all this into play by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not, like, the naggy guy that just, like, asking these guys for features. Like, some people asking me for features, or just, like, let's work. You know what I'm saying? It's just, like, so organic. I feel like it's just right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even work with people. I don't really like their music, or they, or I don't know, like, it's something in them, you know?
So, well, how many times do you reach out to somebody? Because you said you don't nag. Like, how many times do you reach out to somebody?
I don't even think I reach out to anyone at this point. I reached out to Meek a few times to hop on the record, or... You know, I really want a Future record, but I don't really.
Were you with,
I don't really,
like,
ask people for records?
Were you with, like, Trading Verses?
Yeah, I always been in the studio with a lot of these guys. Like, I had Young Thug and Pee Wee Longway on my project first. You know, like, before they got hot, and this was just like us hanging in the trap, like the real trap. Like, before any of us, like, I was growing before them, but it was like they from where it's going down at, you know what I'm saying? So it's like I was in their territory, and I was just like a regular guy at that point. And then to see so much potential in them and where they are today is a good thing. And, you know, I had Migos on my joint, Kevin Gates, Dobie. Young Boy on my last tape before he blew up. Just everybody.
How do you find new music?
It ain't really new music for me. These guys, they, like, they be with me, and they, like, I got relationships with them before they reach that point. You know, like, there's a lot of people. I see stuff in people that other people don't see. So when people see that I see it, that's when they get on it. And then they discredit me. Like, they didn't get that from me.
Are you afraid to, like, you know, like something on Instagram or like something on Twitter, and people will be like, oh,
I know that's the game now. Yeah. So it's like, you're going to like it anyway. You see who I follow, you see who what I wear, whatever, you know, like.
Who do you follow?
Oh, no, I just follow myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I follow the money.
Yeah. A Waste of Time with It's the Real's 12 Days of Podcast has been brought to you by the great people at Def Jam Recordings, who have consistently dropped the best projects this whole holiday season. Christmas is tomorrow. So for all the very, very, very last minute shoppers, here's the cheat code. Get your loved ones copies of the following albums and celebrate the end of 2017 the right way. Loudly. Jeezy's new album Pressure, featuring T-Grizzly and 2 Chainz and Puff Daddy and Rick Ross and Kodak Black and YG and, of course, J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar on my favorite track, American Dream, is available now on every streaming service. And if you go to JeezyShop.com, you can pick up some awesome merch bundles so you can properly rep the snowman. Fab and Jada's collaborative album Friday on Elm Street is everything we expected and more from two of New York City's elite MCs. Combine that with production by Swiss Beatz and friend of the podcast Ted Smooth on that legendary intro, and it's a must get. Vinyl is back in vogue, and if you're really about impressing your girl, get her a vinyl copy of Jhené Aiko's new album Trip, which features the amazing songs Sativa and When We Were Young. And finally, show off your worldliness and pick up Jesse Boykins III's new album Bartholomew, which was the talk of this year's Art Basel. With features from Sid, Trinidad James, and friends of the podcast, Melanie Fiona and Bridget Kelly, it's a must listen. Merry Christmas to you all, celebrate responsibly, and spread love this holiday season. From your guys, It's The Real, and the great people at Def Jam Recordings.
When that project dropped 3 or 4 years ago, were you like, yo, I see what the success is right around the corner? Or were you like, this is just step one, and I'm a very patient person, and I'm willing to like... see this through?
Very patient person. Very, very patient person.
Did you have a patient team around you? Because I bet there's a lot of people at home who were
just
like...
We didn't really have a team at that point.
No team?
Nah. We were just doing this straight out the mud.
I remember at that listening party, there were like a bunch of your friends playing dice, and Lior was very confused.
Yeah, that's what type of guy. That's yeah. My team right there. Yeah, yeah. That sound like my team.
Yeah, yeah. So
like, right, all wins, no loss.
But now, we at a different point now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like next step. You know, it's not like we do that when we got millions of dollars and we can just
right, afford that backstage to just do that.
Yeah. You know yeah, what yeah. I'm saying? Like, yeah, so it's like... learning experiences.
So how do you go from that listening party and that project to touring around the country?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is the one who reaches out and is like, yo, I want to book you here? And also, have you gotten fraudulent, like, have you seen the fraudulent bookings? Like,
yeah.
And God.
Where it's like, I'm not playing in Tempe, Arizona. Yeah.
That meant a couple of times we had that.
Really?
Sure. Yeah. I think every artist had that.
Well, only because I keep photoshopping flyers that keep saying that you're playing Tempe, Arizona.
That'd be so dope if you like actually showed up at that venue that you were not supposed to be at.
Yeah,
and just collected that money anyway and then put on a show. It'd be great.
I mean, sometimes money don't really be involved, so it'd be a scam.
Yeah, no, of course.
You know?
But the greater scam is you proving that it...
Was not a scam.
Yeah. Wait, so I wish it was like that though.
So who are the people who like really bring you out, and what cities were supporting like relatively early then?
I've been down south a lot really.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I really connected with a lot of artists that I'm telling you like wasn't really artists back then.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like they knew how I was moving, and they knew like that was already their dream, you know. I'm just really living their dream, and I'm, you know, it was just fun to me. So it was like they was coming to me like with a passion. So that's what I seen in them. That's why I put them on records and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
And you saw crowds react down there too?
Yeah, definitely. All my shows really been sold out for the most part.
Mm.
Yeah, I had some good shows, and then like college schools always got me early on too, like. I always been in that system, like schools booking me and stuff like that.
Which it's colleges in particular?
Everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody. What's one of the most turned up gyms we've been to? The college. Nah. No. Okay. Not by far.
Not definitely by not far. Giving them shine, okay.
Not by far. That was a turned up one, but it's not. We've been everywhere, you know, like. I've done frat parties. I've done everything. I love the colleges. So it's like the energy there is just different and safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like
Do you think it's because you're so close in age?
Yeah, definitely. But I think they just like good music in general, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you still close out your shows with Awesome, or do you like
throw
it in the middle?
Or sometimes I open them.
You open with it?
So it could just be lit.
Yeah.
I'd be like going crazy. And then, you know, everything feed off that. I got a nice catalog that like that real fans know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, now that Crewverse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what, like, that's what I closed the show with now. Because it's like, that's off the roof.
Yeah, like the videos that I've seen of you performing that and your son came out for one of them, I saw. Yeah,
that's his favorite. That's his favorite song.
You know, talk about how Goldlink and Brent made most of that song together, I think, right? And then you came in later?
Yeah. I came in, they already had it together, I guess, so.
I mean, not all the way together, like, you still had to go.
I don't know what they really wanted to do with it, but I guess someone reached out to Benny, that's my guy on my team, and they told him, yo, send this record to Shy, see what he want to do with it. I mean, people know me for, like, this laid-back style and, you know, just, you hear my voice, it's just so laid-back. So it was a smooth song. And I don't know if they thought that I would do that on there. And, you know, like, I just, the way I heard it was different. I heard it to be where it's at today.
Yeah.
I knew, like, the energy that I was bringing, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to bring the song up. And like, I ain't just want to play it for my chicks. I just wanted to play it. I wanted to play it for grandma, everyone, you know, like.
But how dope is it that, my guys, like, you were so trusting of where you heard it?
It was a great song.
Yeah.
The melody and the vocals and even everything that them guys sound on there. It's just like, it was different for me. And, you know, like, I get into a certain vibe when I hear certain things, and it's like, I did my verse in 10 minutes. It was just like a nonstop verse. For me, it was just that easy because it was like, that's what I was, I just now came from doing all of these things, and I just put it in my verse.
Well, what's the longest that a verse has taken you?
I come back to a verse if I can get it. You know, like, I can work on a verse for 5 minutes to 5 days. It's just like really the vibe.
So after you send your verse in, what do they say?
And how long did it take?
I sent that right back. I did it.
Yeah.
Soon as they gave it to me, and I sent it right back.
And they were like, this is amazing, or
yeah,
we're going to run with this, or did it just sort of sit there?
Yeah, they went crazy. Everybody went crazy.
So did you play it for people too, like around you?
I played it every day until it came out. I already knew that was special. It sounds like Eazy-E, Modern Day, you know, so it's like, I love Eazy-E, and it's like, it just means so much to me, yeah.
Who played Eazy-E for you for the first time?
I was a kid, when I didn't even know, when I was still just strictly go-go, there's this guy on my block named Sonny, and I had to be like 6, 7 years old. He was a rapper, actually. He's one of my influences, too. And I used to be with his nephews a lot. Like, them was, like, my best friends. They used to live across the alley from me. So we used to go across the alley, go in there, you know, jump on the bed, play wrestling, watch wrestling. But upstairs is something totally different going on. Mm-hmm. It's their uncle with a home-built studio with... Like, this easy, it's not DVDs at this point, it's only VHS. So, they got the Eazy-E VHS, put it in, you know what I'm saying? And this the one where he dissing Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
And they got the documentary going on. And, you know, we young, but we understand, just like my son, 3 years old. So, about 7 years old, it was like, everything was soaking in. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I already know this the lifestyle I come from. But then these were some West Coast guys. And then it's a little guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, he cool. He like one of the coolest guys in the world to me at that point.
Yeah.
Because I ain't seeing rap. I don't know nothing about it. It's just like, go-go people ain't at the shows with stuff out and, you know, like, showing violence. It's just like, it's violence happening, but amongst us, mm-hmm. not really with the musicians. So I'm seeing musicians like this, and it's just like, it's influencing me. And we looking at this tape almost every day while we that young, and we learned this song, and then I learned that song, the disc, and you know, I became a big fan ever since then. But I don't think like I was just constantly listening to Eazy-E after that, but that was just a big point in my life that influenced me and stuck with me forever.
Did you hold those grudges against Snoop and Dre like for a while?
Like, I don't think I actually knew at that, like, at that young in time until I got older. Like, yeah, that's my, like, it's still one of my favorite songs to this day.
When Jay and Nas went at each other, like, we, like, chose sides, and there was, mm-hmm. like, no reason why we should have. It's not like, you know, one guy was, like, yeah. you know, our best friend and the other wasn't. We were just like, fuck mm-hmm. Nas, and we're never going to listen to Nas again. And for
I've always been a big fan of Nas, though. I've always been a big fan of Nas, because he's just, like, a laid-back guy like me and humble. Smooth guy. Mm-hmm. That's like definitely one of the biggest guys that I want to work with too. Mm. Yeah.
Has this new project opened up a lot of people's minds to you that you didn't expect?
Yeah, because of all the hype that's around me right now. Mm-hmm. So it's just like I'm just here to live up to that right now. I'm here to prove my point.
And do you also get a lot of communication from people from high school who were like, yo, we see what you're doing now?
For sure, for sure. But they ain't see it back then, so right. I was like, yeah.
You don't even return those?
Nah, DMs. I don't think so. Yeah.
What was your high school team name?
I don't know. I went to so many high schools. I went to DC school, Maryland school, every school, to no schools. Oh. You know, so I had to end up getting my GED.
Oh, yeah, that's, you didn't cross the stage.
Yeah. I got my GED because I was incarcerated for so long.
Mm-hmm. You got your GED while you were locked up?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then I was going to go to college, but it's like I just put my full focus into this. Mm.
What would you have gone to college for?
Maybe business. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I may still go.
Really?
Yeah, I got to get a little bit more money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, college is expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So before I go, I got to make sure my son can go.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a different level of energy at 300 now that you have all this momentum behind you?
For sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There better fucking be. Are you kidding?
I'm telling you.
A lot more incoming calls now.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
So what is Kevin meant to your career overall?
A lot. Because he's just been so supportive. You know, like, I'm forever grateful.
And do you know, like, obviously, you know his history with mm-hmm. Def Jam and, you know, all those amazing artists that were under the Def Jam label. Have you had conversations on, like, how he handled their path versus how you might handle yours?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
Because he tell me all the time that's what he see in me. Like, he tell me that he don't see me nothing and no other artists that he see in me. And when he say that, I know he mean it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, he might work with a million people, but it's like, you know, I'm special. Yeah. You know?
What was it like when Lior left 300 for YouTube?
Or are we just telling you now?
Nah. Haven't seen him at the office lately.
Yeah.
Lior still, that's still my guy. So, you know, like, he gave me this opportunity. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, it is what it is. He, yeah. We always gonna be close, mm-hmm. wherever you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We just saw Wale the other day, mm-hmm. At Henny Palooza, and you know Wale is trying to convert us into like wrestling fans. We could give a shit about wrestling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just being honest.
Just grew up not watching wrestling, didn't care. But you watched wrestling. Do you still watch wrestling? Do you care about wrestling?
I watched wrestling when I was like very young, so it's like I don't know shit about wrestling.
Oh, you're with us.
I don't
yeah.
know. Anything, no wrestlers these days. I was trying to take my son to the toy store the other day. I didn't know who to get him. I was like, I only gonna get him neither one of these. So it's like, I don't really think wrestling is that popping anymore.
Oh, don't tell it to Wale. Yeah. He's going to be very upset.
That's on Wale.
He'll tell you.
That's on Wale. Prepping for the Grammys now. That's February. Is that right?
Yeah. Mm.
January. January? This is wild. That's great. Yeah. That's early.
Yeah.
January 26th. Are you ready for it? Are you, like, do you know what you're going to wear? Do you know how you're going
to,
like...
Everyone keep asking me the same question. Yeah. Every day people ask me, what you go with to the Grammys?
Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. What was it like when you got the phone call that you were nominated? And who made that call?
I got a lot of texts. I think I overslept. I've been in the studio a long, long days and long nights lately. So it's like, I just woke up to a bunch of texts.
Were you confused? But
the confirmation, yeah, definitely confused. I didn't even believe it. I just went online, you know, that's where everything is. And I seen it. And I'm just like, yeah, wow.
Ever since then, have you, like, referred to yourself as Grammy nominated?
Nah.
You should.
Not at all.
You should.
Yeah. Everyone else can, but I kind of think that's kind of corny to be like, nah.
No, it's like...
No, every single thing you sign...
Yeah.
Everybody like, gonna put in their bio, like...
Yeah.
Grammy. Yeah. Yeah. Grammy nominated artist.
Your
Grammy
son is the producer. Son of Grammy nominated Shaq Lizzy.
Yeah, every time you like sign like a restaurant
bill... If I get
bill,
one, though, it's going, I'm going crazy. I'm letting them know right now. Don't let me get one.
Yo.
Oh,
Grammy
man.
Winner, Shaq Lizzy not performing tonight in Tempe, Arizona. That's gonna be great.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. I'm gonna get the Grammy chain.
So your project's out. I mean, but putting it together, you know, having this the weight of Grammy nominated on you, did that change your mindset in putting the project together?
Nah. I stay grounded at all times. I feel like I don't really get excited about too much anymore, you know, because this is what I'm aiming for. It's just like I'm knocking walls down. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That's where I'm at right now. I'm like the hawk. That's my mentality.
The Hawk.
No, Hulk.
Oh, Hulk.
Hulk or Hawk?
Whatever. Hulk.
Okay.
Like the green.
Yeah.
Oh, the Hulk. Yeah. Not like, you know.
Not like
the flying.
A bear.
Yeah, the bird. No, we're not.
I am like that Hawk, too. I'm like evil one. So, everyone interpret that. Yeah.
Have you talked to Birdman since you met him that one time?
Speaking
of hawks and birds, it's a good connection, guys. Mm-hmm. Come on. We're working
once or twice.
Once or twice?
Once or twice.
Yeah, what was that like?
I really feel like, you know, once you ain't with something, it's just like, you know, you ain't with that, so.
So we've been around for 10 years, right? We meet a lot of people. We go to, like, a ton of different things, and you meet a lot of people. And honestly, like, some people have to introduce themselves, like, a second or third time for us to really, like, get it. Do you get that same thing, too? Like, do people expect that you'll remember them? Now, I'm not saying they have to be famous. I'm just saying, like, people come up and they're like, yo, we met at this thing. And you're like, what?
I don't really meet people like that, really, because it's like I'm very standoffish or reserved person, unless it's like my fans. Or, you know, like they run into me again, we just take a picture again, we just chop it up again. But it's not like they ain't going to know me or like hold them type of conversations with me. I'm not that type of guy. I don't really make friends. It's just like me and my crew, them and their crew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's why I ain't really never got with anything. Because I feel like we stand alone.
Even within the music industry?
Within the music industry. I ain't never have to link with anyone.
Mm.
But do you build?
Yeah. For sure.
Do you connect?
Yeah.
Not well.
Okay.
Not well.
Are you open with giving your phone number out to other artists?
No.
Yeah. You're like, you could just DM me.
If I mess with them,
yeah.
I ain't like no stuck up dude like that. You don't got to DM me.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an artist, we try to make music, we're going to swap numbers or swap records, however we do. Or get in the studio. That's what I like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to send music.
It's Are you always organic. In the studio?
Yeah, always. No matter what.
So if people want to find you, you'll be in the studio more often than not. Yeah.
What's the address to your studio?
What's the address here?
So when the awesome remix was put together, was that all in the studio? Because that's with Rocky and
No. Actually, Trey Songz and Chris Brown were supposed to do that.
Really?
But I kind of like, I kind of shot it down.
You shot it down?
Yeah. I have
that's
fat.
That's guy.
yeah, but I wasn't what... I was with 300 then. I wasn't with 300 when I released Awesome, but the remix, it was kind of like my decision. Yams wanted Rocky to get on it. So it even means more now that he even put it together. So that was all. That was like ASAP Yams that did that. He put Rocky on it and sent me these videos with him and Rocky in the studio. And 2 Chainz is my favorite artist, been since Player Circle.
Same.
Like, at least my top five. So, like, I've been on him and Dollar since way back. And, like, Supply on Demand and, like, what, Flight 360. That's, like, my favorite, like, trap album of all time. And, like, it mean a lot to me because, you know, I was out here active, too. The artist and to have him want to be on that song. I even had Fab on there. I still got the verse, you know. I ain't never released it. But
why not?
I don't know. I should have released 2 remixes. It was just, like I said, I just
it's
always
not too
been,
late.
It ain't too late. But it's like I always been doing so much on my own.
Yeah.
You know, it's like some things just been like my decision. It just, that's it.
Is there such thing as putting out too much music?
Nah, no way. No way, but I believe in making content and things for people to remember me by while I'm in the spotlight that I'm in.
You know, your new single with A Boogie and Trey Songz just came out. Did you know A Boogie beforehand? Like, you're talking about how you fuck with artists that you fuck with.
Yeah, I knew A Boogie beforehand. I've been to A Boogie shows. Been in the studio with A Boogie a few times before A Boogie was hot. I was up here in New York with him.
How'd you find him?
I'm always on what's hot. I'm always on what's hot. So it's like, I'm always in the streets too. I ain't like the famous rapper. I feel like I never went mainstream up until this day. I never been to a award show. The Grammys my first thing.
You're about to be.
Yeah, so it's like, I ain't never really take those steps that a mainstream artist would usually take. I always stay down into my time. And like I got my ear to the streets, and I got people around me in the streets. And A Boogie was hot in the streets in New York. You know, I got people in New York. I got in the studio with him a few times, and he came to D.C. a few times with me. Me, him, and Trey Songz been in the studio prior to that, but we didn't make that record then. But you know, it's just vibes, you know, like. Creating those vibes.
And what's that process like? Are you in there to play him records and he's in there to play you records and you just sort of like see what's up?
Yeah, or I more so make records from scratch. Like me and Trey Songz made that record in LA. A Boogie wasn't in LA. Me and A Boogie had our own relationship. And he wanted to get on Take Me Away. And I told him, look, I got this for you. You know, I feel like it was a great balance. A Boogie like the new cool guy that the ladies like. Trey Songz a legend in that field, so it only made sense. But we're talking about a serious situation, and I come on there and hold it down for my, you know, like where I come from.
Well, yeah, and what does Southeast DC mean to you right now? Like, and what do you want for your part of town?
I want to rebuild it and, you know, reinvent it and be a big part of the history in the next few years. You know, just my specific part. You know? Like,
yeah, fuck the rest.
No, I ain't like fuck the rest, but I always stress that point. Like, we always been down for so long. Like, people call us dirty and just, like, you know, put us down for so long. Like, we ain't come from... Like, everywhere in the city is struggle, but there's also a lot of good parts mixed in with, you know, every other part of the city. Like, Southeast is, like, really no good parts. If it makes sense, like, everything really originated from that part of the city. But it's, like, even with my music, it's, like, I'm so, everyone feed from a certain place, but overlook it at the same time. Or, like, they don't overlook it, they just discredit it. And I feel like that's the same thing with where I come from. So I'm already used to this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you call me dirty, but you talk how I talk. But you from the suburbs. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or you want to walk like this, or you want to do this, or be a, you know, like, we ain't choose to be gangsters over there. Like, it's just like, that's what it is over there. Like, you could just walk into a dangerous situation, just walking out your house. It ain't just like we driving on the other side of the town and be beefing and, like, you know, like, we facing odds every day. We're seeing tomorrow, you know?
Mm-hmm. So what part of the plan at 17 was the Grammys? Like, did you even...
Never.
Yeah.
Never.
Couldn't have envisioned a day when you woke up to all those texts.
No, I couldn't envision that. Someone told me, like, I mean, a couple people spoken into existence. Like, what a crew was nominated for a Grammy, or a crew need to be nominated for a Grammy. And then it's just like, you know, I don't really get caught up in awards and that type of stuff. I don't do it for that. I just do it for my family and, you know, my personal, and accomplishments come with it. You know, when you're not even focused on those type of things, that's when everything catch you by surprise, really. You know, that's when everything fall into place. Mm. Everybody that just want to be, like, hot and popping right now, it's just like, go ahead and be popping. You know, like, what you going to do with it?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? You can put in, like, years of work to get to this level. Even if you're around me or you're around... Man, whoever, Drake, it don't matter who you're around. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to put in work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, in terms of upcoming collaborations, you've got Denzel, you've got Steph Curry, you've got Caillou.
Yeah, I can't wait till we get that Denzel skit. Yeah. We won't get there.
Yeah.
But Davies, A Boogie, Trey Songz. 3 Glizzy, 30 Glizzy, Cool Glizzy, mm-hmm. DF Jizzle, Bigger Rankin, of course, OG Bigger Rankin,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, me, Young Hefe.
Yeah,
that's it. I don't really do features like that anymore. The records mean so much to me that it's just like, send me a record and let me put my story on it.
Yeah, well, congratulations on everything. It's really a remarkable run, and you made it from having that broken foot to standing on two good feet, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely a blessing.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for coming through.
I appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of Waste Time with It's the Real Jeff. If people want to find out more about us, I'm Eric, you're Jeff. I'm the one with curly hair, you're the one with glasses. Together, we are better known as It's the Real, one word, no apostrophe, no spaces. If people want to find out more about this podcast of ours, where there's over 160 episodes, it's called A Waste of Time with It's the Real. If people want to find out where they can go get tickets for our upcoming live show at SOB's this January 10th, where can they go?
You can always buy tickets to our upcoming SOB's show at itsthereal.com, itsthereal. You can always search for our old episodes and our new ones over at iTunes. Search for A Waste of Time with It's the Real. We are also on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/awasteoftime. People, stop asking us to get Dave East on the podcast. He's already been on.
He's been on, guys.
Stop asking for Cardi B on the podcast. She's already been on.
She's been on.
Hey, stop asking for DJ K-Slay on the podcast. He's already been on.
Guys.
We have so many episodes. Just go back. Stop asking for the old people. You want our old shit? Go listen to our old
That's
shit.
That's right.
You can always listen to our music. We have an album out, which is called Teddy Bear Fresh. Find that on any streaming service, including Spotify, Google Play, Amazon, Apple Music, Tidal, whichever streaming service you prefer. It is there. Search for it and you will find it. Shouts to Audio Mac as well. You can always find us on Twitter at It's The Real, Facebook at It's The Real, Instagram at It's The Real. We are also on Snapchat at It's The Real, and Twitch at It's The Real, It's The Real.
Jeff, as you stated earlier, the goal for 2018 is to double our audience. We've doubled every year so far. Let's
double it one more time. So if you guys can spread the word to your friends, family, and fans, we would really appreciate that. We know the time and effort that we've put into this podcast, and we think that we have a very bright future for it, and we know you guys support us. So spread the word on this podcast. We know it starts with us. Jeff, who do you want to shout?
I want to shout out Kerv Gotti on Twitter. Kerv Gotti, who enjoyed the Upscale Vandal episode. He's also listened to a ton of other episodes. He doesn't follow us on Twitter.
But
he is from D.C.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, whatever. If he doesn't follow us, we don't follow him.
That's true.
I'm not going to get mad at him that. But he is he's in D.C., and so I figured he would like the Shy Glizzy episode as well.
Shout out to Kerv Gotti. And hey, Kerv Gotti, spread the word. Whether you follow us or not, spread the word about the podcast. We would much appreciate that. Jeff, I want to shout out our friend Joe Mandy. Another veteran of this podcast. Go check out that episode with our friends Joe Mandy and Aniz Ansari. It's one of the early episodes. Joe is a great friend of ours, a great dude, and did you know, Jeff, his award-winning comedy album is now available on vinyl?
You mean the album that he put and he titled it himself?
Yes.
Joe Mandy's award-winning comedy album.
That's the one.
That is now on sale on vinyl?
It is. It's on sale on vinyl. You can go order it on Amazon.com right now, for instance. Also, shouts to Netflix, who made that special into a wonderful experience for your viewing pleasures. You can go check that out on Netflix.com.
It was an award-winning experience for me.
Yeah, and you know what? We were there in person at Highline Ballroom to see it happen live.
Yes, all of Joe's jokes about ISIS.
Joe's jokes about ISIS always kill.
Yeah.
Shout out to Joe Mandy. Shout out to Joe Mandy's award-winning comedy album, now available on vinyl. If you have a record player, go play that.
Even if you don't have a record player, just, it's art.
Buy it and frame it and
never listen to it.
Right. It is just great to look at, you know? It's award-winning.
It's an award-winning piece of art that you can stick on your wall.
Shout out to Joe Mandy. Shout out to Kylie. Shout out to their two dogs.
Yes.
What is it? Sanford and...
Blanche.
Blanche, that's right.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sanford and Blanche. Guys, we so appreciate you listening week in and week out and day in and day out. More great content on the way from your boys. It's The Real. As always, not for real, for real.
Sure, sure.
We'll see you guys on Tuesday.
This episode of the 12 Days of Podcast has been sponsored by the good people of Def Jam, who have dropped Jeezy's Pressure on Spotify, Google Play, Amazon, Pandora, and on JeezyShop.com. Go get some merch. Go cop some tickets to his Cold Summer Tour with T-Grizzly. Go write a million Instagram comments on how you hope Jeezy's coming to perform in Brazil. Jeezy's got some amazing features on his album. And Jesus, we did this 12 Days of Podcast. We had everybody from Peter Rosenberg to T-Grizzly to, I mean, just go back to our SoundCloud page. Go check them all out. A million guests, a million Def Jam ads. We were happy to do it. We'll see you next year.